Elizabeth Lee will tell us about a recent meeting in Los Angeles that brought experts from the public and private sectors together to talk about the future of space travel. While some people really enjoy washing and waxing their cars, others find it to be nothing more than inconvenient drudgery. George Putich tells us about the development of a new self-cleaning paint that could make car washing a thing of the past. And NASA planners are already working to overcome a number of obstacles that could hinder or even prevent a successful manned mission to Mars. The most important challenge they must meet, of course, is making sure that the Mars travelers are kept safe and healthy throughout their long trip to and from the Red Planet. Professor Charles Lamoli from the University of California at Irvine has led new research that's provided evidence that long-term exposure to powerful galactic cosmic rays damages the nervous system, which can cause astronauts to develop cognitive difficulties such as dementia. Professor Lamoli joins us today on our one-on-one segment to talk about what he and his team learned from their studies and what could be done to protect Mars astronauts from such harm. We'll have these stories and more on today's edition of VOA Science, Health, and Technology magazine, Science World. Many companies are capitalizing on the future of space travel thanks to an evolving partnership with the U.S. space agency, NASA. Public and private sector experts recently met in Los Angeles to talk about the future of spaceflight. Elizabeth Lee has the details.
One small step for man.
46 years after NASA first put a man on the moon, much has changed about spaceflight, says NASA official William Gerstmeyer.
There's a tremendous new environment out there where it's no longer just the government doing this. The private sector wants to do this. So then my job in the government side is how do I figure out how to team with this private sector that has this quickness, has this entrepreneurial spirit that I can team and use that with the government side to actually move us forward.
NASA and some of the players in the private sector met in Los Angeles to discuss the future of space exploration. Naveen Jain, co-founder of the aerospace company Moon Express, has high hopes that space tourism will explode.
If you're getting married or getting engaged, why give someone a diamond? If you love her enough, you will give her the moon.
But traveling to the moon may not be viable at this time, says Lockheed Martin's Michael Hawes.
I think it is somewhat still science fiction, but mostly not because that it can't technically be done, but I don't see the marketplace evolving for that as quickly as some do.
Work is being done on future travel to deep space. Hawes notes that NASA has conducted a successful test flight of Orion, its next-generation spacecraft, which will eventually explore the moon and beyond. NASA is also looking to private industry to service the International Space Station.
So they have a couple companies providing cargo. They have a couple companies that have been contracted to provide crew in the future.
NASA is also looking to the private sector for space travel research that can have benefits on Earth, too. They include advances in technologies such as miniature cameras on cell phones and finding solutions to health problems in space, which can also help the people on Earth.
And what we see in space is the human body, for some reason, where there's tremendous bone loss. On the order of 20 to 30% of your bones can be lost per month in space if you don't do any kind of physical exercise. That occurs in our elderly population.
Boeing's John Albon says the research opportunities are exciting, but solving space-related problems takes time.
In 100 years from now, there'll be a commercial space industry that you can't imagine today what it will be like based on kind of where we are now. So we have to be careful not to lose sight of how difficult these things are. At the same time, we can't lose the enthusiasm that there's going to be a heck of a lot of opportunity in front of us.
And space experts say that opportunity could even lead to colonizing Mars. Elizabeth Lee for VOA News, Los Angeles.
A spa resort near Croatia's capital, Zagreb, uses a derivative extracted from crude oil deposits to treat skin diseases and arthritis. Zlatica Hoke tells us more.
The Naftalan Clinic is one of only two places in the world where naphthalene oil, an organic compound extracted from crude oil, is used for treatment of hard-to-cure skin diseases and rheumatic ailments. The dark, oily substance slowly seeps into a row of bathtubs as patients undress and prepare to submerge up to their shoulders. One of them is Pyotr Hlebtsov, a businessman from Moscow, suffering from psoriasis, a disease that creates red, flaky patches on the skin.
It is my eighth visit here at the Naftalon Hospital. The therapy has been very helpful for me. The daily therapeutic bath lasts for 15 minutes, and after that, one needs to rest in the room for about an hour so that the body recovers.
The Russian patient says he's happy with the results so far.
This whole area was a red patch, which has become smaller and smaller over time and is reduced now to just two red dots. And I'm praying to God that this is the year when it goes away completely.
The Naftalon Clinic opened its doors in 1989. Its managers say the idea came from Azerbaijan, where this type of medicinal oil has been in use for some time, in a place also called Naftalon.
Engineers from here who had traveled to Azerbaijan for work realized that the oil used there could be the same kind as the one extracted here, which was already used there to treat some diseases. So they took samples, tested them for chemical composition, and concluded that this was the same type of medicinal oil that they had over there.
But the Croatian team says it is using a more refined, distilled oil derivative, unlike Azerbaijan's facility, which they say uses crude oil.
In medicine, we should not really use crude oil, which has some substances that could be harmful. So we had to find a way to produce a distilled version, which still has all the medicinal properties, while the compounds, which are not desired, were removed. Through cooperation between the Croatian oil company experts and our physicians here, we came up with this final product.
Ivanić Grad is located only 25 kilometers from the Zagreb airport. The price of the treatment is a little over $100 a day, which many patients consider low compared to the benefits. The clinic has recently launched a naphthalene-based line of creams, shampoos, soaps, and oils, which can be used for home treatments. Zlatica Hoek, VOA News, Washington.
Commercial space exploration company SpaceX has successfully tested a system that would allow a crew of a manned spacecraft to escape in the event of a launch pad emergency. Science World's Philip Alexio has more.
In a test conducted at the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida early Wednesday, a SpaceX Crew Dragon spacecraft was launched by rockets into the air. After about a six-second engine burn, the capsule separated, its parachutes were deployed, and the capsule floated to a splashdown in the Atlantic Ocean. A short time later, it was lifted out of the sea and returned to the Cape. NASA, the U.S. space agency, has made the ability to escape from a launch emergency a crucial element for its next generation of manned spacecraft. SpaceX performed the test under its agreement with NASA and will examine the data gathered during the short flight to evaluate the launch abort system and the craft's rocket engines. NASA says the capsule will be shipped to Texas, where it will be cleaned and readied for another, more demanding test later this year. For Science World, I'm Philip Alexio.
You're listening to Science World on VOA. You can also find us on the Internet. Our new webpage and blog can be found at voanews.com/science.
Who wouldn't want a car whose body is always clean because drops of water and oil just roll off of it? Scientists experimenting in nanotechnology say it may not be too long before self-cleaning paints become the standard in many industries. George Putich has this report.
It has long been known that rainwater slides off the leaves of some tropical plants such as taro and lotus, leaving no trace. And soon your car's paint job may be able to do the same. Scientists can now replicate that feature thanks to breakthroughs in nanophysics, the studies of very small particles. Yao Lu, a researcher from China's Dalian University of Technology, working at University College London, used titanium dioxide nanoparticles to create a new type of water-repellent paint. His supervisor, inorganic chemistry professor Claire Carmalt, says when water hits a surface covered with this paint, it does not just roll off.
It actually forms near spherical shaped balls, which, as they roll across the surface, act like miniature vacuum cleaners, picking up dirt and bacteria. And we can take that paint and we can adhere it onto hard surfaces like glass and metal, or soft surfaces like cotton and paper, just using simple adhesives.
The biggest disadvantage of water-repellent paints, vulnerability to mechanical damage, was solved by adding a special glue to the titanium dioxide nanoparticles.
Applying this spray adhesives, we've managed to get very resistant coatings that are resistant to, as I say, rubbing or scratching, and with sandpaper and so on.
The new type of paint can be used on a variety of materials, from clothes and paper to steel and glass. Researchers say the formula is suitable for large-scale production and envision its application by a variety of fields, including hospitals and car manufacturing. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
Over the next 2 weeks, 1,500 participants from 180 countries will seek new ways to reduce risks from hazardous chemicals and waste through sustainable management of these potentially life-threatening substances. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The Basel Convention is the most comprehensive international environmental agreement on hazardous and other waste. The Rotterdam Convention deals primarily with the safe international trade of industrial chemicals and pesticides. The Stockholm Convention on Persistent Organic Pollutants is a global treaty to protect human health and the environment from chemicals that remain in the environment for long periods. Every 2 years, parties to these conventions gather to examine new threats and agree on new guidelines and measures for better protecting people from existing and evolving hazardous substances. One of the big issues confronting the conference is what the executive director of the United Nations Environment Program, Achim Steiner, calls a tsunami of e-waste unfolding and rolling out over the world. He says electronic waste is now a very significant part of the world's economic footprint. He warns that failure to recycle the mountains of electronic waste from cell phones, laptops, microwaves, and numerous other products are potentially hazardous to humans and the environment.
And this is under the Basel Convention, one of the focal issues of how to deal with electronic waste, which is now a very significant part of our, first of all, economic footprint, but more important, of our non-recycled waste mountain, and because of the content in a great deal of these electronic pieces of equipment, also potentially hazardous to people and the environment.
The meeting will debate the need to phase out the use of DDT, which continues to be used in many developing countries to control malaria. DDT causes a wide range of serious health problems in humans, including breast and other cancers. Participants at the meeting are expected to signal to the market that alternatives to DDT and other harmful pesticides are urgently needed. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
An outbreak of the lethal brain disease meningitis is sweeping West Africa. Now, scientists are finding that they can predict and prepare for this and other diseases using satellites orbiting the Earth. Steve Barragona reports.
Every year, dust storms blow across Africa's Sahel region, and every year, meningitis blows in after them, says NASA atmospheric scientist Carlos Perez Garcia Pando.
Meningitis has been one of the most feared dry season diseases in Africa for a long time.
Across the Sahel, from Senegal to Ethiopia, tens of thousands of people get the disease each year. Roughly 10% die. Another 10 to 20% suffer permanent brain or nerve damage. Perez Garcia Pando says researchers don't know why the lethal brain disease tends to follow the region's seasonal dust storms. But he says experts do have the tools to track them. Satellites can watch these storms develop and monitor the conditions that create them. Dust storms are Perez Garcia Pando's specialty. But he told VOA by Skype he hadn't worked on meningitis until the World Health Organization came calling.
I jumped into it because the potential social application is huge.
Because there aren't enough vaccines available to immunize everyone in the region, he says it would help to know where and when the disease will strike. So he and his colleagues developed a system that analyzed satellite measurements of dust, wind, and humidity across the Sahel. Factoring in the number of cases already diagnosed at the end of the year, they found they could predict how bad the next meningitis season would be. It's just one of several ways experts are looking to the skies for help predicting disease outbreaks. Penn State University epidemiologist Nita Bardi says she can anticipate measles outbreaks by watching city lights grow brighter.
The changes in brightness are telling us something about increasing and decreasing human aggregation, and that's very likely driving the transmission of measles.
Speaking by Skype, Bardi says measles loves a crowd, and Niger's capital, Niamey, swells in the dry season as farmers arrive from the countryside looking for work. The glow of the incoming migrants' electric lights and cooking fires show up in satellite imagery. Bardi and colleagues found they could predict how measles would spread through Niamey by watching parts of the city grow brighter.
The satellite can become a really powerful public health tool.
Rita Caldwell studies cholera at the University of Maryland. Her group found that it could foresee outbreaks of the deadly disease in Bangladesh using satellite data about conditions in the Bay of Bengal. Cholera bacteria live on tiny sea creatures that eat plankton. Caldwell and collaborators at NASA thought they could anticipate an increase in cholera cases by tracking plankton levels in the bay.
I'll never forget, we were doing the calculations and bingo, it just fell right into place. It was very exciting.
Caldwell's group and other researchers hope to use satellites to make disease predictions as routine as weather forecasts. Steve Barragona, VOA News, Washington.
This is Science World on VOA. Be sure to visit our new website and blog at voanews.com/science.
NASA planners are already working to overcome a number of obstacles that could hinder or even prevent a successful manned mission to Mars. The most important challenge they must meet, of course, is making sure that the Mars travelers are kept safe and healthy throughout their long trip to and from the Red Planet. But new research may have uncovered another wrinkle in successfully meeting that challenge. It turns out that astronauts who make the long voyage to Mars will be subjected to long-term exposure to high-energy particles such as those found in cosmic rays. After conducting experiments on rats, a team of researchers led by Charles Lamoli at the University of California at Irvine found that long-term cosmic ray exposure can cause significant damage to the central nervous system, resulting in cognitive impairments such as dementia. Lamoli said that astronauts exposed to the high-energy particles over the 2 or 3 year trip face memory deficits, lose their focus, as well as their sense of awareness, all of which may seriously affect performance of various mission-critical activities. Professor Lamoli joins us today for our one-on-one segment to talk about his team's research, findings, and what steps will need to be taken to protect those who travel to Mars from such harm.
NASA has known about these radiation fields for years. And I would argue that our findings are certainly not a showstopper, but it provides further information concerning the risks of travel in space that NASA needs to be aware of so that they can be prepared. And so what we did was we investigated how these charged particles, which can traverse the hull of a spacecraft and obviously the tissues of your body, what they do to the brain. And what we found is that following a relatively brief exposure, 6 weeks following this, animals, when tested on a series of behavioral platforms, performed quite poorly compared to unirradiated animals. Then when we went in to look at those regions of the brain that were interrogated by these cognitive tasks, we found the neurons to have some significant structural alterations that basically compromised the structural integrity of these cells. As you can appreciate, we can't simulate what happens in space perfectly here on Earth. The dose rates up there are relatively low. And we cannot, for example, keep an accelerator running for 3 straight years to run an experiment. This is simply just not practical. So what we do is our best approximation. So we pick the very types of charged particles that are present in galactic cosmic rays and expose animals to space-relevant fluences or doses that the astronauts would receive over the course of, for example, 10 to 30 days. And we analyze the consequences of this, and what we found suggests that there's some risk associated with exposure to these GCR spectrum.
The kind of risks you're talking about aren't temporary. These are permanent damage? Is this permanent damage?
That remains to be seen. And so the structural alterations we see in neurons don't appear to resolve, or if they do, it occurs over a very longer time frame than what we did in this study. The changes in cognition, I would hesitate to use the word permanent, but there are deficits that the animals showed that would indicate that astronauts could exhibit some difficulties in acquiring new learning, problem-solving, or responding to some unanticipated situations. You know, what precisely that deficit in space would be is impossible to predict. I think the way to really view this is that there's an increased risk of some adverse event occurring, which I would say would probably more likely be something relatively subtle than dramatic.
The space program has been in effect for over 50 years. Why haven't the astronauts who have gone, for example, to the moon or those who were aboard the International Space Station facing this kind of problem?
So the astronauts on a space station are still protected by the Earth's magnetosphere. And these particles get deflected by that. So they're not going to get exposed to the same levels they would going to Mars. The astronauts that went to the moon would have been exposed, but keep in mind the duration of this mission was very short. And, of course, on top of that, the number of astronauts up there is relatively small. We analyzed 60 animals in this study, and, you know, if we had analyzed maybe only 12, we might not have seen significant effects. And so it's a combination of never having a person out exposed over these durations in the past the Earth's magnetosphere that I think NASA has reason to be concerned about.
Finally, is there anything that can be done to protect the Mars-bound astronauts or anyone else traveling long distances, long periods of time in space from these harmful effects?
Of course there is. NASA is looking into more advanced shielding strategies. So this could involve protecting regions of the ship where the astronauts spend more time during rest or sleep. We can design, for example, specialized helmets for when they go outside the craft for extravehicular activity. And we can develop pharmacologic strategies that can protect the brain from the adverse effects of these exposures.
How close or how distant are we to these solutions?
The shielding strategies is really a matter of getting better propulsion technologies to increase the payloads we can get up. It's getting more engineering advances to come up with additional strategies for protecting or deflecting these charged particles away from regions of the ship. Our group, as well as others, have some potentially beneficial compounds and pharmacologic agents that can help protect the brain as well. These are under development. We have some promising candidates, but I can't divulge anything more about these at this time.
That was Charles Lamoli, a professor of radiation oncology at the University of California at Irvine. That's it for this edition of Science World. Thanks so much for listening. Before we go, we'd like to invite you to visit our webpage and blog. Along with program information, you'll find stories, links, and much more. Our web address is voanews.com/science. This is Rick Pantaleo reminding you to join us either online or on your radio next Saturday and Sunday as we check out the latest in science, health, and technology on Science World.